George Byrne, who lived to be 100 years old. He worked in the entertainment business for 93 years. He was considered one of the best straight men in a comic act routine that's ever lived. But when he was 80 years old, he had to break out and do a solo act because he kept outliving all the funny guys in this comedy routine. But I love his one-liner that he used to say. He'd say, "When I was a boy, the Dead Sea was only sick." Little girl was rubbing her grandfather's face. She was noticing the wrinkles and the blemishes. And sometimes she'd rub her face. Then she'd rub his face again. And she'd say, "Grandfather, did God make you?" I said, "Yeah, he made me a long time ago." She'd rub his face some more. She'd rub her face. I said, "Grandfather, did God make me?" I said, "Yeah, he made you, and it wasn't that long ago." She thought for a minute. She said, "Grandfather, he's getting better, isn't he?" I've sure got an old. I have 2 bypass surgeries, a hip replacement, new knees, fought cancer, and diabetes. I can't hear anything unless if it's quieter than a jet engine. I take 40 different medications that make me all feel dizzy and winded, and I'm subject to blackouts at any moment. Bouts of, dementia. I have poor circulation and hardly feel my hands and my feet anymore. I can't remember if I'm 85 or 92. Lost all my friends. Can't see. Blind as a bat. Thank God I still have my driver's license. And the lady that said that, she took her dog for a ride. Notice how peaceful she is. The dog's not so peaceful. I think I met her the other day. Or perhaps we can join in. Oh, I thought I had one more on there. Okay. I thought I had a cartoon on there that it said something to the respect of, it was these two older ladies rocking on the porch, and one says to the other, said, "Well, I've outlived all of my friends by so many years now, I know that they're sitting there in heaven thinking I just didn't make it." You know, when we think about renewing our strength, when we think about the opportunities that God gives us throughout our life, spiritually, to either grow stronger, or if we choose not to take those, to become apathetic, or if we choose to even walk away completely, what are the strengths that you have? I would think that some of the things we're about to go over you have thought of before and probably many, many times. I just got to thinking, it would be wise for us to observe the power of you as a group of individuals and what you can mean to a family, and a church family, to the Lord's kingdom, etc. Did you know that in the last 110 years, life expectancy has increased 32 years? You think for some of you here, and I'm not poking fun at you when I'm saying that, I'm just trying to emphasize it. You think if you took and went back to your birth date, and you went back just a generation or so before that, life expectancy was 46 years. I'm 2 years older than that. And now life expectancy, if you're 78 today, the reason I say that, life expectancy is expected to continue to rise. So if you're much younger than 78, your life expectancy is much higher than 78. And so isn't it amazing that when we look at the resource of older generation, not only are we observing, if you will, you, but we're also observing a new resource. The church has never known. This is staggering, if you will, to me. The church has never known what it's like to have this many older faithful Christians in it. Because the church has never had this many older faithful Christians. And that in itself is amazing. 2/3 of all people who have ever lived past 65 in the history of the world are alive today. Let that sink in. This is how new this phenomenon is of living for many, many decades upon this earth. Persons reaching age 65 have an average life expectancy of an additional 19.2 years, and that would be 20.4 for women, 17.8 for men. So in other words, and I'm not suggesting that you think like this, but I'm saying to you individually, but also as church families, the churches that thrive in the Lord's kingdom, and I'm talking about make a huge impact on the kingdom, the ones that reach out and bring the souls in by the droves, it's going to be the churches that first figure out how to really use the resource of the last 20 years of people's lives that we've never had that opportunity before in the church history. You think about the fact that now when someone retires, what is not on our mind now, just 20 or 30 years ago, the idea was, well, they're getting close to the winter. They'll probably be dying before too awful long. Now when someone retires, literally the talk is, what are you going to do for the next two decades? A lot of retirees have still tremendous health, tremendous skills, a ton of life experience, and money. I'm telling you, the congregations that figure this out, it is going to be amazing. A futurist named Ken, and you can read that next word for yourself, claims that the longevity revolution will have a greater impact on our country. I'm not telling you I agree with this, but I'm just telling you, if anybody can compare it to this, it ought to widen our eyes if that person is an expert in predicting the future, okay? Or studying what future impacts could be. Think about this. He says, this futurist says, that the longevity revolution, which just means that we've never experienced in world history people living the length of time they're living, except, of course, for the days of the flood. But in its history, in either the industrial or the technology revolutions of the past two centuries. Now, can you imagine that? You think of the change in our culture and our civilization today because of the Industrial Revolution. What if that had never taken place? Or you think of the difference today in the technology revolution. What if that had never taken place? Well, all of us would say, well, I tell you what, our civilization wouldn't look anything the way it does now. You're exactly right. What he's saying is that our society is going to change and have just as great an impact from people living longer as any of these other two revolutions. We should not treat this opportunity as if it's nothing. This opportunity is huge. 25% of the U.S. population is over 55 today, but in 2050, it's estimated that one out of every three people in the world will be over the age of 55. In other words, one study would say that there's 10,000 per day retiring. 70% of U.S. disposable income is controlled by seniors. Now, I would say that probably doesn't surprise any of us here. But still, let's think about the impact it can have when $1 trillion in spending power is in seniors' control. I don't know if this is the place to say it, but I don't know of a better place to say it. And I do not say this. And how do you say it? Because it's going to sound like I am. I promise you I'm not criticizing eldership. I could give you examples just in the last 2 weeks where I have, by my actions and involvement with elderships, I've honored them highly. My grandfather was an elder. My dad is an elder. I think I can safely say that if you know a preacher that loves elders more than me, you don't know many. I think that's very safe to say. I love and respect God's plan of the eldership. But I believe that one reason why we struggle to do big mission work is not because we don't have the money. It's because we never show the vision that we're capable of doing it so that the people with the money will give big time to it. I love Fried Hardeman University. I love a lot of other works that do great works for the kingdom. But why is it that if a family is going to leave $1 million or $5 million or $10 million, they rarely leave it to the church? It's because most congregations' vision is too small. The money's there. And the money is there in the hearts and the bank accounts and the portfolios of good, faithful Christian people. And if we would resolve to have greater dreams, if we would resolve to do greater works, I don't have any doubt in my mind the money will come, because it's already there. The church already has the money. It's just right now the church has it individually. So I want to encourage you to think about the power of the resource that we have today. The power of this resource is amazing. Be turning, if you will, to Psalm 92. I want to remind you of a beautiful passage from God's holy word. And I want to offer these as we think about renewing strength. We thought about Barzillai, who was a great character of strength, that just studying him fires me up. Hopefully that renews us. But now I'd like for us to go to a passage where God talks specifically to older people. And he doesn't talk to them and as if, well, you're on the last mile of the way, and I don't really know if there's much you can do. Just be thankful as you look in the rear view that you had a lot of good days. Look, that's not at all the way God looks at aging. God looks at it as a very resourceful and powerful time in life. And I hope that's the way that we view it also. Look in Psalm, the 92nd chapter, and look at verse. Can I cut this off? Can you advance me? Okay, look at verse 12 here. Let's read together. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Let's pause there for just a moment and think about what's being said there. You know, you look out and it seems like that everything around a palm tree can oftentimes look dead. It can be a lot of sand. It can be a lot of nothing but life. Nothing that has life. And then you look and you say, well, would you look at there? There's a beautiful palm tree. And that's what the righteous are. The righteous can be in settings that are very ungodly. But yet you've got that faithful Christian. You've got that righteous person that's standing there like a palm tree. Or you have the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon are tall and they grow well, and those cedars are thick. And he says, that's the kind of growth I'm talking about. That's the kind of fruitfulness. That's the kind of production I'm talking about. Well, he's not just talking about in youth. Look in verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Remember 1 Timothy 3 and 15. The house of the Lord is the church. And so if we were going to fast forward this by application to the new covenant, we'd be talking about the church here. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish in the courts of our God. They shall what? Still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. To think that the Lord says there in 13, I want you to flourish, and I want you to still bear fruit in old age. Flourish like what? He says, I already told you. I've told you about the cedars of Lebanon. Anybody that knew that area knew that there's one place that the cedar trees grow like nowhere else. He says, I want you to grow like that in your old age. And he says, I want you to still bear fruit. Not talk about all the fruit you have borne. If the talk in your congregation is what we did so well in the 70s, it's 2015. either still bear fruit or die. There's no other option. And so he says, I want you, as you're growing older, sure, be grateful for all the fruit that's been born. Be thankful for all the ways God has blessed you in the past. But realize, God has not brought you to this point so all you do now is look back. He's brought you to this point so today you can flourish spiritually. Today you can still bear fruit spiritually. Like what? Well, look at that very next phrase. They shall be fresh and flourishing. We all know what fresh fruit is, right? And we know the difference in fresh fruit and canned fruit. Canned fruit means that you've tried to preserve fruit. Fresh fruit means that it was alive recently. It's fresh today. How many new relationships do you have? Have you tried to only preserve the old ones? Or when a couple walks in your church building tomorrow morning that you don't know, is your mindset, I want a fresh relationship. I want to walk over and greet them because they may need encouraging. I want to go over and welcome them. They may be a guest. I want to go over and see if there's anything I can do to encourage them and make a difference in their life, because I still want to be fruitful today. Fresh and flourishing. I think about when I was in my 20s. One of my best friends was in his 70s. I didn't set out to become good friends with him. I just couldn't help but be good friends with him, because he was that kind of friend. He wasn't one of these that tried to present himself younger than what he was. If you would have saw him and if you would have listened to him talk, you would have said, oh yeah, he's in his 70s. But you know what he did? His prayer and his desire in life was to continually bear fruit in the kingdom. If anybody was going to be greeted, you knew he was going to greet them. And if anybody was going to be out there bearing fruit, you knew he was going to do it. And if anybody stayed in tune with whatever was happening today in the lives of people, you knew he was. I remember times where he'd come in and he would look worn out. And I'd say, how you doing? He'd say, I'm tired today. He said, I stayed up almost all night last night praying. There's just several things in the life of our church that I'm very concerned about. So I've been praying for those people most of last night. I remember times that he would say to me, he'd say, I hear that your two little ones both have ear infections. I say, yeah. And this was a time when I didn't have two nickels to rub together. He would shake my hand. And he would say, I'd pull back my hand and it'd have two 20s in it. He would say, I know those doctors are expensive. See if that'll help a little bit. You know, I've met other people that were his age. And when you talk with them, there's only one person they talk about. They're not fresh. They're not bearing much fruit. They're just looking inward every day. I don't say that callously. Grief will do that to you if you're not careful. Pain will do that to you if you're not careful. I want to challenge you. God doesn't walk us through any valley, even when it's the valley of the shadow of death, to turn us selfish. I want to challenge you today that if today is one of your best of days, or if today is one of your hardest days, you're still going to travel through it better if you can keep your eyes and your heart on the kingdom. What can you do today to be fruitful? What can you do today to make a difference in somebody's life? My grandmother was shut in for 20 years. And so most of my years growing up, I'd walk into Mama's house, and Mama had been there all day. But you know what she never stopped doing for 20 years? She never stopped writing notes almost on a daily basis to people that she thought needed to be encouraged. Regularly you'd walk in and she'd be on the phone. She had a list of people that she kept up with because she felt like they need to be encouraged. When she passed away, I was not close to home whenever they said, we're going to go through Mama's house. Is there anything you want? I said, there's only one thing I want if nobody else wants it. I want her Bible. Because I knew what I'd find. It's what I've seen since I was a little boy. All through it was the word stop. Start. Stop. She read through her Bible several times a year. What's God want for us? If you'll look through scriptures, what you'll find out is that God does not have a season of life designed where we're no longer needed. God doesn't have a season of life where we reach the time that we're obsolete. That's an interesting word. Sarah kind of used a form of that word. It's only used one time in the Bible to describe a person. She kind of used a form of that word back in Genesis whenever she laughed, whenever God said that we're going to have a son. And you remember, it's in that one verse that in English she called herself old and her husband old. But in Hebrew, it's not the same word. In Hebrew, she calls herself obsolete and she calls her husband very old. And the reason that the word obsolete is used for her, it's the word that oftentimes was used when whatever had a function was so old that it could no longer function. You know, when shoes are really so old that they no longer protect your feet. And we usually don't talk about things being that worn out today. But some of us have been around times where people wore things that were that worn out. Or you wear clothes until the clothes no longer protect you. They're worn out. Well, see, she was talking about her womb. And she was laughing because her womb was obsolete. Her womb could no longer perform the function. Remember what God's answer was? God's answer to her, he used different words, but it was the same meaning as what God's answer was in Luke 1st chapter through the angel to Mary. Did you know when Mary was told that she was going to bear a child, a son, remember her answer was, how could this be? I've not known a man. And the angel explained it this way. With God, nothing is impossible. I'd like to close, if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, is one of the great passages of persistence in Scripture. And it's bookend in verse 1 and verse 16 with the phrase, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. I'd like for you to think about this as it could apply to persecution or it could also apply to aging. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. In other words, we just can't do as much physically as we used to do. Yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. The inward man is flourishing. The inward man is fresh. The inward man is looking younger and stronger all the time, while the outward person is growing older. The outward person is aging in the sense to say, well, I remember back 40 years ago, I could do, and today I can't do that. But do you realize by faith? Do you realize by faith and by godly wisdom and by skills and by experience what you can do today that 40 years ago you couldn't do? So I offer you this morning the reminder, don't get caught up in all the things physically that you can't do that you used to could do. But realize that the inward person is renewed and you're stronger and more capable now to make an impact on the kingdom than you've ever done in the past. May God bless us in that.